Good morning. The open meeting for this Thursday, August 10th, 2023 will now come to order. There is one special motion for today, Vice Chairman Cookley.
Good morning. I move to suspend the rules on the timely submission of agenda documents in order that the commission may consider the late submission of agenda document number 23-19-C.
Any discussion of the motion? All in favor?
Aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. First up on our agenda is the draft notification of availability of the petition for rulemaking regarding the use of artificial intelligence in campaign ads. Presenting for OGC is Ms. Waldman. Ms. Waldman, whenever you are ready.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Good morning, Commissioners. Agenda document 2320A contains a draft notification of availability for a petition for rulemaking submitted to the Commission by Public Citizen. The petition asks the Commission to specify in regulations or guidance that the Federal Election Campaigns Act regulatory provision regarding the fraudulent misrepresentation of campaign authority applies to deliberately deceptive artificial intelligence campaign advertisements. The notification seeks comment on whether the Commission should commence a rulemaking based on this petition. The comment period will run for 60 days following the publication of the notification in the Federal Register. After the comment period has concluded and after the comment has been considered, the Commission may decide whether to initiate a rulemaking. Thank you, and I'm happy to answer any questions you may have.
Madam Chair.
Yes, Commissioner Dickerson.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and good morning to you and to our colleagues. As I noted at our last consideration of this question, I've always voted to publish petitions for rulemaking and to invite public comments. But our regulations are clear. And while they set an extraordinarily low bar, they do have certain requirements for a publishable petition. Public Citizen's first effort, as I noted at the time, simply failed to meet even that rock bottom standard. I agree, however, that this second petition complies with our regulations. It's my view the Commission need not be as permissive as it is chosen to be by rule in publishing petitions for rulemaking, especially where they are principally intended to drive press coverage or public advocacy. But we're bound by our regulations, and I'll be voting in favor of publishing the notice of availability. That said, we're also bound by our statute. And while I appreciate the revised petition makes some attempt to explain why, in its words, a deep fake audio clip or video by a candidate or their agent that purports to show an opponent saying or doing something they did not do would violate the law. But neither the petition nor our friends in Congress have pointed to any precedent for that argument, and respectfully, I remain unconvinced. Once again, the statute prohibits a person fraudulently misrepresenting himself as acting for or on behalf of another candidate. A candidate's agents are also covered, but that's the point. The statute is carefully limited and is directed at fraudulent agency. In other words, it's directed at fraudulently pretending that you yourself represent or work for another candidate. It does not reach fraudulently claiming that your opponent said or did something that he or she did not do. It would be news to many, I suspect, to learn that the FEC may police candidates telling lies about their opponents. That was Congress's choice. The FEC has unanimously asked it to revisit that choice and to grant us broader authority to punish fraud by campaigns. But as is Congress's right, it has chosen to ignore that request. I'll note that there's absolutely nothing special about deepfakes or generative AI, the buzzwords of the day, in the context of this petition. If the statute reaches fraudulent attempts to show that an opponent, quote, said or did something they did not do, it shouldn't matter how the fraud is accomplished. Lying about someone's private conversations, or posting a doctored document, or adding sound effects in post-production, or manually airbrushing a photograph, if intended to deceive, would already violate our statute. The fact that Public Citizen points to no authority for that view, no comment, no floor statement, no enforcement action, no case, is a powerful problem for its reading of the law. I highlight these problems because I hope learned commentators will seriously grapple with our limited authority rather than baldly asserting that the FEC do something. I sincerely welcome comments that provide serious legal arguments in favor of our authority to act in this area. Again, we've unanimously asked for such authority in the past. And relatedly, there are serious First Amendment concerns lurking in the background of this effort. Precision of regulation is a requirement in our work. And if the commission has authority to act in this area, I hope that commentators will also demonstrate that it is possible to tailor a regulation to truly fraudulent activity without chilling protected expression. With those preliminary thoughts, Madam Chair, which I hope will guide the comments we receive, I will be happy to move the adoption of the notice of availability at an appropriate time, and I look forward to reading the public's comments.
Alex, further discussion. Commissioner Weintraub.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I am pleased that it looks like we will be able to publish this in the Federal Register this time. I supported publishing the last version of this petition. I support this one. Both times our lawyers reviewed the petition and found it in compliance with our regulations. It's obviously a topic that is very timely, very important. I don't pretend that the FEC can solve all of the problems that people are concerned about in the field of AI, but it is possible that we can solve some of them. As the document before us says, the commission will not consider the petition's merits until after the comment period closes. So I'm going to keep an open mind as to what we can and cannot do, and I look forward to robust comments.
Further discussion. Commissioner Trainer.
Madam Chair, just a question for council for the aid of the public. When do we anticipate the publication of this, and when would the close of the comment period generally be, so that they might anticipate when the commission would take another look?
If I may, Madam Chair.
Please.
Normally, it takes a few days up to a week once we transmit a document to the Federal Register for them to actually publish it. So I would expect if we were to get this over to them today or tomorrow, by sometime next week, it should appear. And then it would be 60 calendar days from that date, however that falls. That would be the close of the comment period.
So the earliest would be mid-October?
Right.
Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Alex, any further discussion? Wonderful. Then motions, Commissioner Dickerson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move the adoption of agenda document number 23-20-A.
Discussion and motion. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Thank you, Ms. Walden. Next up, we have draft advisory opinion 2023-05 in response to a request from Alamo PAC. Requesters counsel, Jason Torczynski and former Commissioner Matthew Peterson are here with us today. Welcome back. And we have Evan Christopher presenting for OGC. Everyone get settled. Whenever you're ready.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and good morning to the rest of the commissioners. Agenda document 2319 contains three draft responses to an advisory opinion request by Alamo PAC. Alamo PAC is the leadership PAC of Senator John Cornyn, and it uses an existing hard money contribution account to make contributions to federal candidates and committees. Alamo PAC proposes to open a second hard money non-contribution account into which it will solicit and receive contributions consistent with the amount and source limitations of the Act for the sole purpose of making independent expenditures. In the alternative, if the Commission finds that the Act does not permit this first proposal, Alamo PAC proposes that the second account be administered and overseen by a special committee whose members are appointed without any involvement of and whose decision-making is not approved by Senator Cornyn. Draft A concludes that no, the proposed second account would not be permissible under the Act, because Alamo PAC has said it will not aggregate contributions to both accounts and will treat each account as if it has a separate contribution limit. That would allow Alamo PAC to raise as much as $10,000 per contributor per year in excess of the $5,000 per contributor per year limit laid out in the Act. For the same reason, because the second account would still be part of an entity that was established by Senator Cornyn, even if it were overseen by a special committee as proposed, Draft A also finds the alternative proposal impermissible under the Act. Draft B concludes that yes, the proposed second account is permissible because nothing in the Act or Commission regulations explicitly prohibits Alamo PAC from opening a second account and receiving contributions consistent with the Act's amount and source limitations for the sole purpose of making independent expenditures. Draft C agrees with draft A with respect to the primary request, but concludes that the alternative request would be permissible because although the Act prohibits Alamo PAC from opening the second account under its ordinary operating and management structure, if the second account were overseen as proposed in the alternative request, the second account would not be established, financed, maintained, or controlled, what we say EFMC'd, by Senator Cornyn, and thus would not violate the Act. The Commission received one comment on the request and no comments on the drafts. Happy to answer any question. Thank you.
Thank you. Colleagues, question.
Thanks, Madam Chair. Questions for Requesters Council. An open-ended one. We didn't receive any comments on any of the drafts. We received one comment on the request. I'd be interested in your views on the three drafts, the merits and demerits of those, and which one you think is the best statement of the law.
Let me see if I can kind of frame this a little bit for the commissioners, but from our point of view and for folks that are watching online. Today, if Alamo's treasurer created an IEOPC or independent expenditure only political committee, Senator Cornyn could raise without question $5,000, ask individuals for $5,000 for that PAC. If the treasurer can open that account and Senator Cornyn can solicit for it, and you know, Senator Cornyn can continue to solicit for Alamo PAC, he can do these two things separately, there's no doubt. Speech Now and the Kerry decision tell us that they can do those together. Right? You don't lose your right to do separately what you do collectively. And for that reason, we think draft B is most consistent with our request. Draft C, I also think would be consistent with our request because it says yes to our alternative. Although I would actually like to ask the commissioners for draft C a little bit of clarification. If that is the draft that's approved and we do have the ability to create the separate committee, I just would like some clarification so we know the intent of the drafters about whether that committee would also be subject to the $5,000 limit or if that separate committee could oversee an account that raised unlimited funds. Obviously, if Senator Cornyn never solicited, we know he would be limited to the $5,000. My concern with draft A is I think draft A runs afoul of Citizens United, Speech Now, and the Kerry decision. And I think would be contrary to law in large part because Citizens United has told us that independent expenditures by their nature don't create corruption or the appearance of corruption. And so in light of that, and in light of the notion that you don't lose your ability to do separately what you do collectively, according to Speech Now, I think draft A is inconsistent with the law.
Madam Chair. Thank you for that, Mr. Torjinski. I think the response to that from a critic, I think this was somewhat set out in the CLC comments, would be that your hypothetical about the treasurer forming a separate committee, they would say, well, those two committees are then affiliated. And if they're affiliated, then they're subject to a single contribution limit. And so actually you couldn't do that. Now, I think the response you might say is, well, then Kerry's wrong, right? Because that would also, if Kerry is correct, then yes, of course, that's what a treasurer does, right? They have two separate accounts. So what do we do with that? With the affiliation regulations that say, you know, if Senator Cornyn or a single person establishes multiple committees, those committees are affiliated because they're established by the same person, and therefore they're subject to a single contribution limit.
Well, I mean, I think the answer to that is the affiliation rules are designed to prevent the evasion of contribution limit, right? It's designed to prevent Senator Cornyn from setting up four different committees that are each making contributions to candidates and raising $5,000 from a single person into each of them in a single calendar year, and thereby evading contribution limits. And at the same time, also the outbound contributions from those four different committees to candidates, you know, in the amount of whether it's a multi-candidate committee or not. I think that's really what the affiliation rules are designed to prevent. When we're talking about money that's only to be used for independent expenditures, there is no contribution limit, right? The Supreme Court has told us that those dollars don't prevent or don't create corruption or the appearance of corruption and therefore can't be limited. We obviously do have the rule that applies to Senator Cornyn where he could only solicit $5,000 per calendar year per individual. But that's only with his personal solicitation. So I don't know that I think they're wrong on the affiliation rules not applying. Mr. Popora at Alamo PAC is a professional treasurer. He is treasurer for I don't know how many other committees. And not every one of them is affiliated with Senator Cornyn just because Alamo PAC is affiliated with Senator Cornyn.
And I guess one more question, which is, one of my concerns with draft A is it seems to be like a little question begging, right? It says you can't, Senator Cornyn can't, would violate the soft money provisions because he would be soliciting money in excess of the contribution limit of $5,000. But that's sort of assuming that the $5,000 is the limit and that, it can only apply to a single account. And I've struggled with the clarity of the statute. And, again, it's the same $5,000 limit that was at issue in Kerry, right? It's the $5,000 limit for multi-candidate PACs.
Yes.
And I was, something that was flagged in some public commentary by another learned member of the bar, Brian Swoboda, was that, Senator McCain in his floor statements about the McCain-Feingold made reference to the idea that leadership PACs might have multiple accounts. He talked about the idea that there could be federal accounts and non-federal accounts within a single leadership PAC. So how clear is our statute about the limits on the number of accounts that can be within a leadership PAC?
I don't think it's clear at all. And I think obviously the statute doesn't say anything about the concept of independent expenditure only committees, because that's a court created notion as a result of kind of the First Amendment's application in Speech Now and Citizens United. So I don't think the statute even speaks to this concept. And I don't think Senator McCain even conceived that there would be this independent expenditure only account, but certainly he opened the door. And as the drafter of BCRA indicated that he didn't foreclose that possibility.
Thanks.
Madam Chair.
Yes, Commissioner Dickerson.
Thank you. And thank you to the Vice Chairman who anticipated some of my questions. So I want to pick up on some similar themes. So I agree with you, Counselor, that the holding of Kerry applying, I think principally Emily's list, is that you may do, I think I'm quoting you here, you don't lose your right to do together what you may do separately. I think that's right. So the question is, let's take your hypothetical about the treasurer of Alamo PAC establishing a new IE-only committee. I understand your point about the senator's ability to solicit for that committee, but I presume you wouldn't concede that the senator EFMC'd that committee. Am I wrong?
In my hypothetical, the statement of organization there would be signed by the treasurer. And, even the notion of an office holder establishing a leadership PAC, it comes directly from BCRA statute. And that really refers to committees that make contributions to candidates. So, no, I don't think that I would say that Senator Cornyn established, finance, maintained, or controlled that separate hypothetical committee that the treasurer set up.
I think I agree with you. And so my question is, what, do you believe that the senator would EFMC this second account? Because if not, it seems to me that there's a bit of an apples to oranges comparison there.
The PAC exists, and the leadership PAC is affiliated with Senator Cornyn, but the account would be opened by the treasurer. Senator Cornyn wouldn't, he would not be a signatory on the account. He, depending on what the commission tells us, he may or may not be able to control how those dollars are spent. But no, we don't think that separate account would be considered established, finance, maintained, or controlled by Senator Cornyn.
Even without draft C, even under just the, it's a second account, it's subject to a second hard money contribution limit. Are you forswearing the senator's control of the spending out of that account? Because that's not how I understood the petition.
No, I'm not. Unless the commission tells us that he has to be walled off from it.
Well, then I guess I'm back to. So let me maybe set the table a little. I was involved in the Kerry litigation, and I think you're correct in your reading of the opinion. But in that case, Admiral Kerry was able to establish you know, what was clearly able to establish two different committees, one, a unaffiliated hard money committee for contributions, and one, an IEOPC. And he was allowed to control those both. And in some sense, you know, to the vice chairman's point, it didn't really matter if those separate committees were affiliated, because as a matter of constitutional law, there wasn't a contribution limit for independent expenditures. So in some sense, the EFM seeing didn't matter. So I guess my question is, could a sitting senator, could Senator Cornyn establish a separate super PAC subject to no limit on contributions, just as Admiral Kerry did? Or is there something special about his status that prohibits that?
I think he could establish finance, maintain, or control a separate political committee that was an IEOPC, as long as it was subject to the $5,000 limit. And I don't think the affiliation rules would apply to those two committees, because the affiliation rules are designed to prevent evasion of contribution limits, and the IEOPC wouldn't be making contributions to candidates. I hope that helps.
Well, it does, except that, you know, the problem, I guess we're back to this question of, you know, if Senator Cornyn would not EFMC the money coming out of this second account that he'd like to establish as part of his leadership pack, I'm not really understanding what it's doing, one. And two, I'm not understanding why your client isn't requesting to establish just a straight carry account. Why are we imposing a contribution limit at all if your constitutional theory is that this is just like in carry, it's for independent expenditures, there's no corruption interest?
Because federal officials or federal office holders are subject to not raising and spending money beyond the limits and prohibitions in the act, which the commission has said, you know, in the IEOPC context, they can solicit only up to the $5,000 per calendar year limit from individuals, not corporate or other money.
Right. Let me ask it a different way then. Would you say that contributions made to the second account are contributions within the meaning of the act?
They're independent expenditure dollars. They can't be contributed to candidates or committees.
Right, but are they I ask this because you referenced an advisory opinion from 2006-24, which allowed for, you know, money to be provided to a recount account. And I thought that was very interesting because, you know, it seems to me closer to the facts here than maybe even Kerry is. But in that AO, the commission, it was a 4-2 vote, and I'm not certain I agree with it. But, you know, the commission's reasoning was that money given for a recount isn't a contribution at all. That was sort of the legal hook for permitting those additional contributions, or I suppose they're donations, not contributions. How do we legally think of the money going into the hypothetical second account?
I mean, I think the commission following speech now has said that because independent expenditure dollars, when they're spent, are expenditures under the act, that, you know, those committees register and report with the commission instead of with the IRS. And so, you know, again, the technical definition of contribution here, I think, is tough to apply, because we think of contributions, when I think of contributions under the act, I think of contributions that are essentially for the purpose of contributing to the candidate or party committees. When individuals give money to independent expenditure committees, you know, I believe the commission has regulated those because they're for the purpose of making expenditures. And I think the definition of contribution, definition of expenditure is different.
Okay. I guess another question then. In terms of the practical governance of the leadership committee, what do you see as the difference, and this is going back to my EFMC question that I opened with, what do you see as the difference between how the second account would be governed under your backup plan of a of an independent, I'll call it a board, that would be making decisions as to contributions and expenditures out of that account, versus, you know, if it were simply a second account established under the auspices of regular order for the leadership committee.
I think under draft B, I think if, I don't know, let's just hypothetically say the second account had accumulated $100,000. I think Senator Cornyn could participate in the decision on, you know, assuming that he didn't have some other coordination problem, could decide and weigh in on whether that committee should make a contribution to another super PAC or whether it should spend in support of or in opposition to another candidate. I think if draft C were approved, I think Senator Cornyn would be walled off and that independent committee would make the decision about whether that $100,000 should be spent on a particular candidate or hypothetically contributed to another super PAC.
I appreciate that. And I think that's right. But again, and this is kind of asked and answered, but I'll give you another bite. If the senator's directly controlling spending decisions, how is it not EFMC'd?
Well, he's not financing it because it's not his money.
Sure.
He would have some control over it, but the whole EFMC concept, I think, really was getting back to the hard dollar limits when you're talking about contributions to candidates and party committees. And this is outside of that. This is independent expenditures.
So it's your view the EFMC concept just simply doesn't apply for IE committees?
Give me one second. I think that's right, Commissioner.
Okay. I appreciate that. Thank you. I know that got a little technical. Thanks, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Further discussion? Commissioner Weintraub.
Thank you, Madam Chair. What's the limiting principle of this? If he can set up a second account and raise another $5,000 per donor into that second account, what under your analysis would preclude him from setting up a third account, a 10th account, a 100th account, and then just continue to raise $5,000 from the same donors into each of those accounts?
In this case, Your Honor, I think, or Commissioner, I think, sorry, Commissioner, I think it would be because it's under the same committee. I think if the senator were to establish multiple accounts that purported to be IEOPCs, you could create through either the advisory opinion or regulatory process a concept that would link those together, so that his ability to raise those $5,000 wasn't multiplied and thereby evading the limits that are applicable to federal office holders. But that's not what we're proposing here. We're proposing a kind of a limited rule.
I understand you're only asking to open one other account, but it seems to me that if we said he could evade the $5,000 contribution limit by setting up a second $5,000 account, I don't see where the legal rationale would preclude somebody else, let's say, from coming along and saying, oh, good, now I can set up 100 separate accounts.
I mean, look, Your Honor, I mean, Commissioner, there are multiple super PACs that exist right now that Senator Cornyn could solicit for. He could solicit for a string of super PACs today at the $5,000 limit.
Right, but presumably he hasn't established those other PACs, and he has established his own leadership PAC.
Right, and so, you know, so you could, you know, amend draft B a bit to say, and, you know, this would apply to, you know, any other attempt at creating multiple accounts, so he can only solicit, you know, one $5,000, you know, contribution per calendar year per individual into an IEOPC that he controls. I think you could do that, and that might allay your concern if you wanted to take draft B and insert a sentence about that in there.
Well, I mean, yes, we could say that, but my problem is that I don't see how we get past the $5,000 limit to the second account. And so I think the same rationale that would preclude the third and the 10th and the 100th account also precludes the second account, because I think he's limited to $5,000. In a PAC that he has established, and there's no question that he has established his own leadership PAC.
I think I would agree with you if there was a statutory or regulatory definition of an IEOPC, and there is not. I mean, they're just, you don't find the concept of super PACs in the statute. And you don't find the concept of super PACs in the regulations. So, you know, until Congress or this commission purports to, you know, regulate those beyond what the courts have done, I think that SpeechNow, Kerry, and Citizens United control to lean towards the approval of agenda item B.
Well, I certainly agree with you that there is a crying need for some regulation, some acknowledgement in our regulations of the existence of super PACs. But that is a bigger question than we have in front of us today. Let me switch topics a little bit. If draft C were to prevail, you've suggested that you could somehow wall off the senator from this second account, and that other people who would somehow come forward to run this for him. How would this second account be organized other than by the senator or his agents?
I think we have. I mean, if draft C is what the commission is willing to approve, you know, we're certainly open to the consideration of the limitations that the commission may apply. I think our supplemental response is pretty clear that we're kind of open to exactly how that committee is comprised. Obviously the one limitation we put on that is that committee would not be essentially created by Senator Cornyn.
Well, I hear that, but it's the practicalities of it that I just can't figure out how to do that, how this would happen, if not by his instruction, then by the instruction of his agents, people who work for him, people who are part of his political organization. Somebody's going to have to set up this separate committee of people who are going to run this separate account.
Commissioner, I think, you know, there is a kind of a history of the notion of sort of separate control inside political committees, you know, in the place of, you know, foreign-based corporations that have U.S. subsidiaries, they're allowed to have PACs because you can limit who controls those. In the case of state parties where a federal office holder is chairing the state party, you can have committees that control the separate accounts. So I don't think this is a foreign concept given where the commission has been in regulating hard dollar PACs, or in the case of state parties, the sort of separate or state level accounts of political committees. So I don't think this is a foreign concept. And I think if the commission wanted to impose limitations on how the special committee was selected or operated, I think we would be open to those.
Well, I think the distinction between I think the closest analogy that you have is the Kelly AO. And the distinction is that the Congresswoman in that case was a transitory chair of a long-standing committee that existed before her and was going to exist after her, and had other staff that she had not appointed and that she was not responsible for, and the committee had its own function separate and apart from her. This is the senator's leadership PAC, which has no function other than to advance his leadership goals. I mean, that is the whole premise of the leadership PAC, is that it is associated with him. It is his entity, and he has established it. So I think, as my colleague would say, it's mixing apples and oranges.
Except that under Citizens United and SpeechNow, you know, I think, and under the Kerry decision, because Senator Cornyn could do it separately, I think the commission is, you know, violating the principles of the Kerry opinion if it says he can't do it together. And that's why we oppose draft A.
Commissioner Broussard.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm going to thank Council for the discussion today, because it's been very helpful. But one of the points that was just mentioned, and also mentioned by Commissioner Webb, is that there's been a lot of discussion on the control. And the Kelly AO, I think, is distinguishable from what we're looking at here, is because control was the leading issue in that matter. But it's not for me here. Draft C, the problem with draft C is that I think it ignores the discussion of establishment. And I want to take it back to the request that you, in your request, on page 6 of your request, you essentially asked the commission whether the committee may establish a non-contribution account. Aren't we already walking into the problem with the EFMC right there? Is because you acknowledge that you have to establish this. You have to form this entity before we can even move to the issues of control. You're already talking about if we have the treasurer, we're still walking into direct or indirect establishment. The E is not resolved here. The Kelly AO and the draft for C can take care of control, but I don't think we can even get to those because establishing, you're acknowledging that the committee, that the senator is establishing this second account.
I think that, I mean, the treasurer would be the one opening the account.
Is the treasurer not an agent of the committee?
The treasurer is, yes, the treasurer is an agent of the committee.
So would that not be direct or indirect establishing the account?
I mean, I think there's a lot of apples and oranges going on here. The EFMC rules are all designed to prevent the evasion of contribution limits. When it comes to independent expenditures, there just aren't contribution limits because the Supreme Court has said no. So I think that's the difference here. And so the question is, if Senator Cornyn could go out and solicit $5,000 for any IEOPC that was out there from an individual in any calendar year, why not one that's a sub-account of his leadership pack? And I think that's the question we're asking.
Commissioner Broussard, do you have further? Okay. Commissioner Dickerson?
Mine's answered. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I was pausing dramatically in case there were additional questions on sort of the.
There are. Commissioner Antrim.
I mean, I'm happy to yield to Commissioner Dickerson. I was just going to respond to the last comment by Mr. Torchinsky and the difference is that as a member of Congress, he's covered by 30125E and he's not like every other person on the planet. If you're not a member or a candidate, then you're not subject to the limits in 30125E, but he is. And as is any entity that is directly or indirectly established, financed, maintained, or controlled by him. And I just don't see any way that this second account is not a second account within a PAC that he created, that he established. Everybody, you know, you acknowledge that much. And what, however it's organized, this second account would be either established by the senator or by his agents. I just don't see how you get around 30125E.
Madam Chair.
Commissioner Dickerson.
Thank you, ma'am. I mean, related questions, I suppose. And I want to express my sympathy to counsel because I recognize and have said on numerous occasions that our EFMCing regulations are not a model of clarity and may even be contrary to law in certain details. So this is a difficult and unsatisfying discussion, but going back to this question of agency, which I think is important, our regulations limit agency for our purposes to actual agency. So two-part question. One, is the treasurer an agent of the candidate, of the senator, or of the committee? And two, what is the scope of that agency for purposes of this second account?
I think the treasurer is an agent of the committee. And I think the treasurer would be responsible for spending from the second account. In other words, if somebody said, hey, why don't we spend money supporting Senator Cornyn, I think the treasurer would say, no, that would create a coordination problem under 109.21, and would be able to say no. Or if they said, hey, why don't we cut a check to a candidate or a party committee from this second account, I think the treasurer would have to say no, but that's not a contribution account.
I think that's right.
The treasurer has oversight over that account to be consistent with the law.
No, I think I agree with that. And it's also, I mean, I wanted to switch gears and talk a little bit about draft C because, you know, you asked for some guidance on it. You know, I'm a little uncomfortable in the sense that, you know, the idea of an advisory opinion as opposed to a regulation is to answer a question involving facts that have been developed by the requester, as opposed to kind of facts as against the whole world, like in a regulation or a statute. But I guess let me ask this. If draft C were adopted, would the treasurer or the individuals making the decisions as to disbursements from that account, would they be actual agents of the senator?
No.
Why not?
Because the senator wouldn't be involved in picking them or directing them or supervising their actions. And they wouldn't be acting on his behalf.
And that analysis would apply for each of the initials, right? For E-ing, F-ing, M-ing, and C-ing. Of our EFMCing prohibition, which I'm convinced was written by Congress just as a tongue twister for FEC commissioners.
I think that's correct, Commissioner.
Okay, thank you.
Colleagues, further discussion? Well, with that, then I'm going to turn it over to motions for votes. Commissioner Weintraub.
Thank you, Madam Chair. With respect to draft advisory opinion 2023-05, I move approval of agenda document number 23-19-8.
Any discussion of the motion? All those in favor?
Aye.
All those?
Aye.
No.
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 Motion fails 3-3 with Commissioner Weintraub, Broussard, and myself in favor. Vice Chair Commissioner Traynor and Mr. Dickerson opposed for the motion.
Thanks, Madam Chair. In draft advisory opinion 2023-05, Alamo PAC, I move approval of agenda document number 23-19-B, which is draft B.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed?
No.
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 The motion fails 1-5 with the vice chair in favor and Commissioner Traynor, Dickerson, Weintraub, Broussard, and myself opposed. For
Madam Chair,
yes.
In the matter of draft advisory opinion 2023-05, I move the adoption of agenda item 23-19-C.
Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
I didn't hear you. Commissioner Dickerson. Is that
I'm in no. favor, Madam Chair?
All opposed. No.
No.
I'm abstaining.
Motion fails 2-3. Give me a minute with the math. With one abstention with Commissioner Traynor, Dickerson in favor, with Commissioner Broussard, Weintraub, and myself opposed, and the vice chair abstaining. And got it on motion. Thank you, Council, for being here and answering those questions. I think that was a really robust discussion.
Thank you, Commissioner.
And with that, I will ask the magic question. Are there any management or administrative matters that need to be discussed today?
Madam Chair, there are no such matters.
Thank you. This concludes the agenda. We are adjourned.